Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtham Manamapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasya Agrasamurupurim Maturim Goshtavatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Shamprato Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tam Dattrasu Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Atav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Shakram Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Chapande Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, I just wanted to check you're still alive after last night's. Just checking to see if they're still alive, because everyone took rest after 1 o'clock, huh? Yeah, our Japanese girl is always there, huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Swamiji, how did you attracted towards Sanatana Dharma?
So, the question is, how did I become attracted to Sanatana Dharma? Actually, I never heard the term Sanatana Dharma. I was growing up in England, but I was interested to know what on earth is life all about. I could see everyone around me, the material needs are fully fulfilled. There are no poor people where I was growing up. Everyone has a house, a car, but no one's happy. So I thought, why should I live my life like this, like everyone else? Anyway, it's a long story, but I eventually got one of Srila Prabhupada's books. Do you have that Krishna book? Krishna book, Krishna book. Bring a copy. And I read that, I couldn't understand it.
Okay.
It was in English, but I couldn't understand it. But I did understand there's something substantial here. So I thought I should visit the Krishna temple. I happened to know, at that time it wasn't very well known. I happened to know where it was, so I went and visited it, and to put a long story short, I joined, and 42 years later I'm still around. So, Srila Prabhupada, our guru, who is the founder of this International Society for Krishna Consciousness, obviously he's not the founder of Sanatana Dharma, there is no founder as such, but he brought this Krishna consciousness to the West. So I was attracted to that. And one very important reason, I'll tell you why. Why I even read that book in the first place. Because practically I'd stopped reading books, because I was fed up of all different people's ideas, and they're all speculating in different ways. But because it is ancient Shastra, or scripture, I was willing to read it. I wasn't interested in anyone's individual personal ideas. So, yeah, this is the book, but this is a book about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes. So that's what I first read. So because it is coming from the platform, the Sanatan platform, the eternal platform, I could understand that Shastra, I didn't know the word at that time, or scripture, it's not from this world. It's coming from reality beyond this world. Therefore, we should take it seriously. So, in that way, I became attracted. And then later on, I learned all these terms, Sanatana Dharma, Shastra, and all these different terms. But it was, ultimately, it's Krishna who attracted me. Krishna means all attractive.
Okay.
And in Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna speaks that he is the Gupta of Sanatana Dharma. He is the protector and maintainer.
Previously, before practicing Sanatana Dharma, what were you and how are you feeling right now?
What was I? I was fool. Fool means ignorant. I didn't know what is the purpose of life, how to attain it. So I was a fool, and now by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, the mercy of all the Vaishnavas, I'm able to say with confidence that I know who I am. I'm an internal servant of Krishna, which I didn't know before. So how do I feel? I feel very happy. There's a song by our... There are so many Vaishnavas have sung like that. That... what is that verse? Yamuna Acharya. Bhavantam evanu charam nirantara. How does that go? Bhavantam evanu charam nirantara. Prashanta nishesha manora tantara. Katamai kantika nitya kinkara paharshi ishami. Sanata jivita. He says that, well, he's praying, when will that day come? But obviously he's on the spiritual platform. He's saying that, when will that day come when I will identify myself fully as your servant? He's praying to Lord Narayana, Krishna. And all this circulation of the mind is wandering here and there, that will come to an end. And my mind will be fully fixed in you. And then I'll feel fully satisfied simply to be your servant. And I'll live sanata jivita, means I'll live fully sheltered. This Krishna conscious bhakti means to take shelter of Krishna. Sri Krishna Sharanam Mama, in the Vallabh Sampradaya they say. And of course in Ramanuja Sampradaya, they recommend this prapati Sharanagati. So it's all taking shelter of Krishna. I feel very happy.
You hail from a Christian society background.
Yeah, I was raised as a Roman Catholic. That's correct, yeah.
See, do you find real peace is in Sanatana Dharma?
Do I feel peace in Sanatana Dharma? Yeah, peace and more. Peace is only a beginning. Peace means when you get some relief. But beyond is bliss. More than shanti is ananda. So shanti is not the last word.
Is there in the Sanatana Dharma?
Sanatana Dharma, certainly. Because what is our Sanatana situation? This body, this is not Sanatana. How many bodies have I had? How many bodies have you had? It goes on and on. Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. It goes on and on and on. But our Sanatana situation is that we are Atma. And our Sanatana situation as Atma is Jiva Sharup Hoy Krishna Nityodas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. We are all eternal servants of Krishna. In Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna says, Mamai Vangsho Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta. What's the next word, do you know? Sanatana. So every jiva is Sanatan, part of Krishna. So this is Sanatana Dharma. So naturally we feel very satisfied. There's a good example. Just like if a fish is out of water, you can give a fish the most beautiful female fish to enjoy, the best food that fish like to eat, and give all facilities, won't be happy. Because he's out of his natural environment. So same thing in this material world. We're like a fish out of water. We're not in our natural environment. So naturally we become satisfied when we go to our natural environment. That's the Vaikuntha environment, spiritual environment.
So you're saying all the world should be in Sanatana, should practice in Sanatana Dharma.
Yeah, everyone should.
There is no need of other religions, right?
Well, when you say other religions, if you say Sanatana Dharma, that suggests that there's some kind of dharma which people are following, which is not fully on the Sanatana platform. So that may be some manifestation of it, but not full and complete. In essence, if we take Christianity, Jesus was saying to love God. Islam means surrender to God. So, that's good, but to understand exactly who God is, what is our relationship, how to act in that relationship, we have to come to the Vedic culture. Veda means knowledge. So that gives full knowledge as much as we being tiny beings can understand. But other manifestations, they're not bad in and of themselves, but often due to lack of full understanding, then they take this is the only way, they become inimical to others like this.
What is the impact of ISKCON movement, that is Sanatan Dharma through ISKCON movement and Europe and other Western?
What is the impact of ISKCON in the Western world?
Yes.
On face value, it might not be that much. There haven't been, in terms of huge numbers of people coming, not that many, which is not so surprising because the Western culture is based on all the things that we are against. That means this meat-eating, gambling, illicit sex, intoxication. And in Gita also, Krishna says, Manushanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mang veti tatvata. He says, out of thousands of people, maybe one will take seriously to spiritual life. And out of those who have attained siddhi, only one can know Krishna in truth. So we can't expect many, but actually, we can see the influence in as much as, I'll tell you, when I was going to school in England, I became a vegetarian, which at the time was considered insane, literally, it was considered to be crazy. And I started to think about, well, there should be reincarnation. Because I thought, well, is this life, that's all in all? And there's God, okay, I can understand there's God, there must be God, but in the Christian idea, or you only get one chance. I thought, that's not a good God. Only one God. If you miss, then you're missed forever. But I thought, then I heard about reincarnation, and I thought that, oh, that must be right. God gives us many chances. It's like my father, he's not God, that's for sure. But he has my well-being at heart. If I do something wrong, he'll punish me and give me another chance. He doesn't kill me or punish me forever. So I understood theoretically, reincarnation must be a fact. But that was considered crazy. Now I'm telling you what the influence of ISKCON is. These books have been distributed in tens of millions in maybe 100 languages all over the world and profusely distributed in Europe and America. And nowadays, vegetarianism is a fact of life in the Western world. Every airline in Europe, and they have veg and non-veg meals, which just goes to show. There was practically the word vegetarian, no one had heard of 40 years ago. And reincarnation it's widely accepted. Not everyone believes in it, many do, but everyone knows at least the concept of it. So I ascribe that in a large part to the distribution of these books by giving this spiritual knowledge. It's entered the culture, the psyche of Western society.
Whether this movement of Sanatana Dharma through ISKCON, is it attracting even educated personalities?
Oh, mostly educated people, yeah, mostly. Mostly. I mean, thoughtful people. These books, they're not some novel that you read to go to sleep at night. These are. Where's that Bhagavatam first canto? Last night I read it in the hall. Just if you consider this Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, if you take the first verse, you could just by reading the first verse, there are 18,000 verses, you can understand this is for very thoughtful people. I know the Sanskrit, but the English translation is quite long.
Did you find this in Bible?
Shall I just read this and then that will answer this question also?
Okay.
In the meantime, I'll just say the Sanskrit verse because it's purifying. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya janmadyasa yaton vyadita ratascha teshva bhigna swarat tene brahma hridaya adi kaveyemu hyanti yat suryaha Tejo vari mridang yata vinimeyo yatra trisargo mrsha. Dhamna swena sadani rasta kuhakam satyang parang dhimahi. You have the modern shastra. Okay, give it here.
Modern shastra.
Okay, now please listen to this very carefully. And you'll understand this is not in the Bible. If you know the Bible, I read the Bible in English translation when I was about 16 years old, the whole Old Testament, New Testament, everything. Now, please listen to this. What is the depth of this knowledge? This is better, huh? Okay. There's just one verse, 18,000 verses. So, O my Lord, Sri Krishna, son of Vasudev, O all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. I meditate upon Lord Sri Krishna because he is the absolute truth and the primeval cause of all causes of the creation, sustenance, and destruction of the manifested universes. That's already more than everything in the Bible. And that's only the first quarter of the verse. He is directly and indirectly conscious of all manifestations, and he is independent because there is no other cause beyond him. It is he only who first imparted the Vedic knowledge unto the heart of Brahmaji, the original living being. By him, even the great sages and demigods are placed into illusion, as one is bewildered by the illusory representations of water seen in fire or land seen on water. Only because of him do the material universes, temporarily manifested by the reactions of the three modes of nature, appear factual, although they are unreal. I therefore meditate upon him, Lord Sri Krishna, who is eternally existent in the transcendental abode, which is forever free from the illusory representations of the material world. I meditate upon him, for he is the absolute truth. How about that? Now, you're talking a lot about Sanatan Dharma, and I think you're concerned about the influence of Christian conversion. I catch that from you. Now, I suggest you promote Krishna consciousness. I'll tell you why. Sanatan Dharma and Krishna consciousness are non-different. But if you say Sanatan Dharma, it's vague. One reason the Christians are able to catch up so many people, they just focus, Jesus. And it's easy, people don't have to think much. People in the modern age, they don't think much. They can't even multiply 42 by 173 without a calculator. They can't do it. Their brains are dull. It's Kali Yuga. So, Sanatan Dharma is vast. Krishna is vast. But if we focus in bhakti on Krishna, it'll make it very clear and easy. Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, make it very clear. Give everyone a very clear path. I feel that's one reason why Christians are able to catch up people, because they give a very clear and simple message. That's just a thought of mine. Whereas Sanatan Dharma, it is complex, because reality is complex, and the absolute truth is both simple and complex. And in this material world, we are complex beings. And so Sanatan Dharma gives so many. There is karma, jnana, yoga, bhakti, there are different demigods, and there's so many different approaches because people are in different mentalities. But at the present time, it seems to be too difficult for people to grasp. So just make it simple. And even when I say Krishna bhakti, even more focused and simple. In this Kali Yuga, Harinam. Promote Harinam. Let everyone chant. To do all these pujas and yajnas, very difficult. In the yajna, chanting is going on, people don't know, they can't understand anything. Let them chant Harinam.
And you had said about vegetarianism and non-vegetarianism.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I just want to question you one
point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just, in India, this rapid discussion is going on cow slaughtering.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And actually, being an ISKCON follower, and being a practitioner of Sanatan Dharma, how do you see cow slaughtering?
Krishna is Gopal Govinda.
Yes.
Krishna loves cows. So if we love Krishna, if we love God, God means Krishna, then we shouldn't kill cows. That's a fact. But actually we shouldn't kill goats or buffaloes or chickens either. Especially cows, but... And in this Vedic culture, animal killing is allowed, actually. It's not that... But it's not... For people who are coming up to sattva guna, coming to develop spiritual consciousness, then for them, meat eating is not allowed. But it's... Sanatan Dharma is Catholic in that sense. Do you know what the word Catholic means? The word Catholic originally means all-encompassing. It doesn't mean the Roman Catholic Church. It means it's universal. So different people are at different levels. So even if we say don't eat meat, still there are going to be some people who eat meat. So the Vedic culture allows that at some level. But if we're going to come to a higher level of spiritual consciousness, then we're not going to eat meat. Because that will, there are various reasons. One reason, generally meat eating involves violence. Not always, because you can eat, the animal can die naturally also, but no. But it brings the consciousness down to tamoguna. So it's not recommended. So, what was the point? About cows, yeah. Yeah, cows is a horrible thing. I don't see how anyone I really don't understand how people can talk about God and then support slaughterhouses, because God means... He is the Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the best friend of all living beings. The animals are also the creation of God. And how can you subject them to so much pain and suffering? Don't you see they suffer also? In Christianity, they made this philosophy that humans have souls, but animals don't. But they also feel pain. Why do you want to give pain? They feel pain. In Christianity, it was only fairly recently that women had souls. You know that? They said women don't have souls. I mean, one reason I became disenchanted with Christianity, they couldn't answer the questions. It was very, very, very bad theology, actually. Especially this idea that God throws you into hell forever. It's a very bad idea. It makes God seem like a very nasty person. Misrepresentation of God.
What about this? Every human being is a sinner. He born with a sin only. He'll be judged on when judgment day will come. Yeah. Is it true?
Well, that's another funny thing, this judgment day idea. The idea, because if you take all eternity, we're talking about Sanatan Dharma, God is Sanatan. If you take all of eternity and then you say that there were humans were just manifest, and then after some time it'll all be closed down. That's their idea, right? That there were some humans, some angels fell from heaven or something like that. Then there was Adam was the first person. There was Adam and Eve, and then Cain and Abel. And then Cain killed Abel. And then he married someone. I don't know who he married, because there was only Adam and Eve and Cain left. But anyway, somehow or other he married someone. The idea that humans are there for a short time and then everything closes up, and then a few go to heaven and most of them go to hell, and then life goes on in heaven again. But if you take in eternity, it's only a very, very short time. So why did God all of a sudden make all this material world? It doesn't make any sense. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains perfectly. Purusha sukha dukkhanam bhuktritve hetu ruchyate. It's not that because Adam and Eve ate an apple. It's because we ourselves have made the wrong choice to be in this material world. We ourselves are the cause of our own happiness and distress. If I do something wrong, I get the result. It's not that because my great 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 to the power of raid 10 to the power of 25 grandfather ate an apple, and therefore I'm suffering. This is a foolish idea, actually.
You are message to Hindus who are being converted.
Message to Hindus who are being converted. Try and understand who is God. Someone comes along and says Jesus is God. Someone else will come along and say, there's another thing I was thinking when I was a child. Someone else will come along and say, Allah is God. What is that? La illa la wa illa la Muhammadan Rasulallah, and only Muhammad is the Prophet. Different people come and say different things. Now we live in the age of information. You look and see. You use your intelligence to try to understand. Because someone offers you a bag of rice and a chicken every Sunday, then don't put your whole eternity on the basis of that. Try and understand who is God. And try and understand that God is not going to throw you into hell forever. Whoever says that doesn't understand God. God is kind by nature. Anyone who says that he throws people into hell forever doesn't understand God. So I would say that. But people are carried away. People are not thinking. They're just carried away on the emotional platform. That's all.
Do you have any message to atheists?
Message to atheists, again. Use your intelligence. Because religion is so badly misrepresented in the world, doesn't mean there's no God. That's poor logic. I actually have many things to say. They talk about rationalism, right? They believe in India, there's this Indian Rational Association. Well, their whole idea of rationality is irrational. Because they presume that everything we can understand by our own intelligence. Unless we understand it by what we see, touch, taste, smell, feel, and hear, empirical understanding, unless we take empiricism, put it together with rationalism, and that's all that we accept as knowledge. But we are very, 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 very tiny living beings with very limited intelligence, with very little ability to understand the universe that we're in. Even all the scientists put together, they have no clue as to what is the source of consciousness. So the idea that we will be rational, and by rationality we will use our intelligence to understand everything, that is irrational. We should accept that the spectrum of knowledge is far, far more than what we can understand with our very tiny experience and intelligence. So if we want full knowledge of reality, we have to look for knowledge that comes from a higher source, from beyond this material existence. So don't just write, just because there are so many cheaters in the name of religion, don't write it off. Try to understand.
Yes.
Use your intelligence. Message to everyone, use your God-given intelligence. Or if you think you don't believe in God, use your intelligence. To try to understand that we can't understand everything with our intelligence. That is the beginning of spiritual knowledge. Humility. To understand, I can't understand everything, but there are higher powers who can help us. If you don't like the word God, we'll say higher powers. If you're allergic to the word God. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. You can stay if you like. We're going to have more satsang. Give them some prasadam. All right. Chala danyavadam. Hare Krishna. And please take some books. You yourself have some intelligent interest in all these things. You're not doing this just as a job, I think.
Yes, yes.
Definitely you need the money.
But out of...
Spiritual interest is there.
Yes.
So cultivate it. Hare Krishna.